I'm writing really not to moan and dwell on pain and sadness, but to really share a little of the ways that we've found to live well with Parkinson's disease, and for me to accept my role as David's caregiver.
And Liz, tell us, for folks, there's probably folks out there who do not know what a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease entails, what it does to one, and of course what is required of a person attempting to provide care for that person.
Well, the first diagnosis, I think my husband noticed that his arm wasn't swinging, his left arm, while we were on a hike, and he thought perhaps he'd had a mild stroke. And going to the doctor identified it as a symptom of one of the many symptoms of Parkinson's disease, an early symptom. But I feel at that time he should have also turned to me and said, you have Parkinson's too, me being the caregiver. So every second you're on as a caregiver. So you, of course, drive and, you just do every single thing, and it is very tiring, as you can imagine, 24 hours on and off. And even in bed, you know, the bed will shake because of the tremoring if the pills are wearing off. So there's all that aspect. And then, of course, you have to be an advocate to make sure the pills, medications are correct. But worse than that, there are a few little incidents that are terrible, that you have to become like a tiger. At once at a concert in Santa Fe, I think it was at the Lenzic, somebody tapped him on his shoulder and said, can't you keep your damn head still? And I snapped, I turned round, nearly bit her head off, and said, he can't help it, he has Parkinson's. So you have minor levels of being his advocate like that. And then there are other ones that are really life-threatening if you weren't there to monitor what's going on. For example, once in a hospital, in order to get to the physical therapy unit, he had to show improvement every day with his physical ability, walking. And the doctor said, I'm sorry, he doesn't qualify for the unit. He only walked 10 steps today. And I said, and do you know why he walked only 10 steps? You had tape across his bedroom door because you were waxing the corridor outside. So otherwise, if I hadn't been there, had not said that, he would have been moved to a residential, what I call an end-of-life care home. So those are just two examples.
You mentioned the metamorphosis, how this changed you and made you kind of an exile, a social pariah. Tell us about what that's all about.
Well, becoming my husband's full-time caregiver. Well, actually, I say I'm my husband's full-time caregiver. That's how I introduce myself nowadays. And like poor Kafka's grub waking up one day with his bug persona struggling to be understood, people don't see me anymore as they did. So my all vestiges of wife me, carefree, independence me, artist, regular, ordinary me have gone. And if you remember the story, Kafka's story, he calls out, but I'm still here. And that's what I try. But I'm still here. Look, beneath this grub skin, it's just me as ever I was before. So that's really what I meant by the metamorphosis. You become a completely changed person because your life has changed. You have no time to do anything that you did before, like I used to be a sculptor, but I couldn't possibly continue with that if my husband suddenly called, help, help, and my hands are stuck in a bowl of clay, or a bag of clay, actually, then I couldn't run to him. So I thought, well, writing is a way to keep my spirit alive in between caring for him. So that is a metamorphosis, in my opinion.
Liz, in the Perfect Servant, Nope, on page 56, there's a poem. Tell us why this poem is so important.
The poem, to me, is important because to hold on to all the good times you have with your husband, because, as the poem says, tomorrow, when I lie alone, when I have no shirts of his to wash, when I clear one plate from the table, when the back porch swings empty, I will wish, I will weep, stare into the laundry basket, seek his pair of shorts to add, search in vain for his missing sock. I'll not complain. Today I swear, promise only kindness, grumbling no more at his snoring, snuffling sleep, happy to still have him. And I am happy to still have him, even in this very disabled and altered state. I'm very happy that he is still with me.
And, Liz, that leads me into my next question. Heaven is when you think it is, taking
Correct.
Advantage of small pleasures.
Yes. So perhaps waking up earlier, taking a cup of tea to bed and watching the sunrise through the window over the ridge, which is at the end of our land, that is a beautiful and peaceful thing to do. That is heaven. If you can just sit, the two of us, under our peach tree, when we're lucky enough to have a peach. But if not, it's just the blossom or the leaves, and share a glass of wine with friends. That is a wonderful pleasure. And listening to the cottonwoods down in the bosque, David does still love to go down and hear the rustling of the leaves. Once he said to me, listen, listen, Liz, the sea. But it wasn't the sea, it was the rustling of the leaves. So pleasures like that.
You mentioned rereading the blogs of the past year and a half and seeing that your attitude has changed. Explain that for us, if you would.
Right. Well, at the beginning, in the first blogs, they're very angry. I'm angry that we're suddenly considered pariahs by society and that people have this very superficial attitude towards you, and they say really annoying things like, oh, look after yourself, won't you? Well, how do they expect it? So I was really angry that people seemed so insincere in their reaction to David, and gradually, of course, to us both being excluded from our regular sort of social. So it's several years, I've been trying to tell myself, if this was somebody like the Queen of England or the Pope, Pope Francis or Muhammad Ali or somebody you really respected, would you shout at them and say, move your feet, or whatever it is, or lift your fork, or whatever? You wouldn't. You would be more gentle. You'd be much more respectful. So I've been trying to shift my behavior to accepting and seeing David as a beautiful being, and just reminding myself he is a beautiful being, and therefore to try and treat him as such. And when I finally realized, well, actually, David wanted to give up a lot of the activities. This was about 18 months, 2 years ago. The moment we gave up the fight of wishing, I call it wishing, wishing this, wishing that, well, we haven't got this, we cannot do that, we cannot go here, we cannot go on hikes on rough ground, this kind of thing. Once you accept that, then you find an internal peace in that acceptance. And in that acceptance, we found that we did actually love each other more than ever, became completely symbiotic.
The title of the book is The Perfect Servant, Nope, A Caregiver's Hat from Hell, by Liz Rose of Galisteo. Liz, anything else you'd like to add at this point?
This is really the dictum I've tried to live by. Your dharma is to truly exist, because this is the life you have received from God. Whatever you do, allow it to come from that great love. Swami Chidvilasananda. That's a quote. But to me, I look, keep on my puja, which is like a little prayer table in my bedroom, and I try to live by that every day. Always fail, mind you, but that is what guides me.